nation. And we're also going to welcome those that over the last few months has come from different towns, from other Shofar congregations as well. But first I want to invite the hug committee. That's our elders. They can come stand to the front. And we're going to do it a bit different. I always like doing stuff different every time. So what you're going to do today, if I read out your name or your family's name, you can come to the front. They've been trained to hug people. Okay, it's extensive training. You get low, hard hugs, and then you get soft, longer hugs and all those type of stuff. But you can decide. We're going to do it different this morning, because if I had to join a church and people had to hug me, I would run out of the door before they call my name. So I'm going to ask this morning what you must do. You can either, when you're a lady, you can go to one of the ladies. And when you're a man, you can go to one of the guys in front. You can go to both of the ladies. You can go to both of the men if you're a man or a woman. But I want you to, because we want to embrace you who you are. So if you like giving high fives, when you come to the front, you come like this. That they will know, okay? And if you don't like the high-five thing and you just want to have a normal, he's also president, kom ons skud sy hand, then you come out and you show your hand, right? So we're going to have a bit of fun. And if you want a hug, then you make like Aneska does when we get to home. Okay, you don't have to shout Dada or Mama, but okay, just don't knock somebody over when you come to the front. So ons gaan eerste, gaan ons gaan die mense verwelkom. Waar's Christo? Jy moet ook hier wees. Waar is al jou goedjies? Christy, jy moet hier by my kom staan. Of wil jy aan die einde van die produklyn wees?
Ek dink
is beter nie. Okay. Alright, so ek gaan vra dat, waar is die De Jagers? Jan Willem en Anel De Jager, hulle kom via Londen, via Karoo het hulle ingekom. So, hulle was daar in ons Londen gemeente vir lang tyd gewees. Dis Jan Willem, en dis Anel, en dis Arno en François. Wat sê? Francie. Ok, Francie. Woehoe! Right, Christo, jy moet nou vir hulle ietsie gee, nê? Ok, die manne kry iets en die dames kry iets. En dan die kinders, jylle moet dit maar nou uitdeel vir die kinders en so. Ek sien Anel, jy is ook lus om drukkies uit te gee, jy kan maar daar bly staan as jy wil. Alright, dan François en Lindy, waar is julle? François en Lindy Marie, they're from Shofar East London. They came all the way. They didn't swim, they came with a car, welkom. Alright. Nee, julle kan bly staan. Ons gaan nog lekker vir julle bid en alles. Then Gert en Nancy Kloete, they're not here this morning, they're in Cape Town, they're from Shofar Joburg. En dan het ons vir Lisna, ook van daar van Oost-London. Those who don't understand Oost-London, that's East London. Right, hello. En dan het ons vir Chrisney McDonald, daar van Stellenbosch. Hallo Chrisney. Okay, so they've all been members of Shofar for a while. And they've come to join our family in George, so we're very excited about them. And then we've got a few people that over the last couple of months, they've decided to be planted here in the house of the Lord. And I just want to say a little bit about that. The Word of God teaches us, it says, blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord, for they shall flourish in the courts of our King. And it's amazing, I'm actually going to speak about it today when I preach, but God doesn't separate His throne and His church. He doesn't separate His throne, His courts in heaven. He doesn't separate from being planted in His house. And that's so amazing. And it's so great to understand when people come. We don't promote and say you have to become a member of Shofar or anything like that. When you speak to me, you'll hear, oh, my heart is just be planted somewhere. The body of Christ is much bigger than just Shofar. But there's a blessedness when you and I decide I want to be part of what God is doing. And He says in His Word, if you plant it in His house, you shall flourish in the courts of our King. And that's so amazing. So that's, I want to just encourage all of you that become members here. You're not just part of Shofar, you're part of the courts of the King, being planted in His house. So ek gaan eerste vorentoe roep, Gerrit en Lise Wilsdorf. Woo! Ha ha ha. Bos. Christo, ek dink dit gaan beter wees as jy hierdie, as jy daai vir kan uitdeel. Right, then we've got, waar is Tannie Tia? Tannie Tia Gerike. Woehoe! En dan Clive, Clive Besidenhout. Lekker Clive. High five. Okay, ek gaan hulle probeer reg uitspreek. Dis Melissa. Melissa of Melissa. Melissa. Okay. Melissa de Bruin en Marlene de Bruin. Hier kom hulle. Tada. En dan het ons vir Jaco Haven gaan. Waar is Jaco? Ras sy. Dan het ons vir Nadia Leroux. Daar is Nadia. En waar is Mark? Mark Taylor. De manne daar van KZN. En dan het ons Florijn Eksteen. Is Emma here today? Emma nie gemaak nie. Okay, so Emma can't be here, but then Craig Clubs also there from KZN. Lekker. Hey? That's it. Okay, what we're going to do now, I'm going to ask if you are sitting and you already remember you of us and you planted in the house, that you come to the front, come and lay your hands on the people that's become new members and those that's come from other congregations in Shofar. And then, and then we're going to pray a blessing over them. So if you come to the front, put your hands on somebody, and then, Christa, wat ek vir jou geskiep? O, God. Wieso? Ek het nog geskiep. Christa, sorry. Ek het vir Christa heel misgelees. Sorry Christa, ek is... Die mense is al klaar so in nie, so dat ons kan nie... Sy sit so, Christa sit so mooi beskei daar, of... Okay. Ja, okay. Het ek allemaal gecover wat new members is? Ek het nou vir Christa hier misgelees op die lysie. Is allemaal in, hè? As sy. Okay. Christus is excited because there's some presence left. Alright, so ek gaan vraag, as jy member is, kom gaan voor en toe, ons gaan vir die mense lekker bid, kom leef hulle hande op. Ek gaan sommer algemene gebed bid, en dan wil ek vraag dat jylle persoonlik vir hulle woord sommer oor hulle bid, en dit wat jylle voel, die Here op jylle hart vir hulle plaas. Jylle kan bykie voor en toe beweeg, allemaal waar aan die hoek staan, sprei bykie uit, to spread out wide. Does everybody have someone with a hand on them? Okay, jylle wat daar achter staan, kom bykie uit, beweeg bykie uit. Jylle daar in die hoek, beweeg bykie uit, dat die mense vir jylle spuis kan gee. So, kom. Ja, kom, nee, kom. Okay. Is allemaal sorted. Edwin daar in die hoek, like my. Daar, Gerard en Lise. Kom. Verlande, jou man roep jou. Alright. Okay, allemaal like sorted. As jy nie iemand het wat vir jou bid, steek jou hand op. Weet nie iemand wat vir hulle bid nie. Okay, Chantel, jy kan lekker daar, saam met Anel. That's it. Ja, Father God, we just thank you this morning for every person that can stand here in front. We welcome them into this house, your house, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that they will flourish in your house because they've decided to plant themselves, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that scripture even says that those who are planted in your river or next to your river, Lord, they will have leaves that will never wither. And they will bear fruit, Lord, in season and out of season, Lord. And we want to speak a blessing over them. We want to welcome them into our family. And we want to say, Lord, that they are the head and not the tail. They will see the ways of God. They will walk in the ways of God. And they will prosper as families, as individuals, as being part of your kingdom, Lord. And we want to receive them this morning as being a blessing to your body and to us. in the name of Jesus. So daar waar jy staan, bid lekker, bid 'n blessing oor die mense uit en seën hulle met dit wat die Here op jou hart vir jou plaas. So, now the kids, die kinders, julle kan nou lekker kinderkerk toe gaan. Let's just give a, kom ons gee 'n lekker handeklap vir almal wat new members is. Welkom by ons. Okay, this is the last Sunday that we'll be without lights. We had to take the lights out because of the ceiling that we're putting in. From next Sunday, there'll be lots of lights. Then we'll be in the light again. Alright. Okay, I'm going to end off my series on church. And it's called Beautiful Church. And for some of us, to have beautiful and church in one sentence is already a push. And to have it as two words, just as it is, beautiful church, is quite hectic sometimes for most of us. But for the other part of us, it's actually a place of being beautiful. And we're going to speak about it today. And if you're a little bit like me, if you've got friends that's outside of church, that doesn't believe in church anymore, and you tell them church is beautiful, they'll give you 50 reasons why it's not beautiful. Okay, if I'm the only one that's got friends like that. Okay, that's a part that say yes and no. Okay, so this morning, I'm probably preaching to the converted anyway because you're sitting here in church. But I wanted to bring today, I'm not going to speak about who we are in church, I'm going to speak about the one that makes church beautiful. And it's Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes church beautiful. And we've got, obviously, church. We as church make mistakes. We as leaders make mistakes. And when I speak about church today, I don't want to speak about us as a congregation. I want to speak as church as a whole. Every church congregation in this town is beautiful because Jesus is the center. And that's the basis of it. And I'm going to, before I start reading, I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you this morning just for your word. And we thank you, Jesus, that church is beautiful because you're the center of it. As the Word of God teaches us, you're the cornerstone of the foundation on which the church is built. And I pray this morning, Lord, for most of us sitting here today, we know that church is beautiful. But we've got friends and people outside of church that don't think that anymore, either because of hurts or because of offenses or because the church was wrong, Lord. But I want to pray this morning that for us as personal, that you come and ignite in our hearts again through your Spirit how beautiful church is meant to be. And with that, Lord, come and ignite in our hearts a burden for those who don't see church as beautiful anymore. That we will start praying for them. That we will start seeing, Lord, how you turn hearts back to your kingdom, back to your house. In Jesus' name. And all God's people that believe church is beautiful says, Amen. Amen. Okay, that was half of us, amen. So I'll preach it today. And as I mentioned, there's many things about church that we can say church have wronged the people over the centuries. If you've been part of our church here, if you've never been offended in the last 2 years, then there's something wrong with you. I get offended with church leadership. I get offended with church. We all do. None of us are exempt from that. Ons is nie vrygestel van dinge nie. Why? Because church is family. Right? Ken Davis puts it so well. He's a Christian comedian there from America. He says church is like being married. And he once spoke at a conference of pastors and he stood up and he said, I've been married for 40 years. And he said for the first time in his life, that whole pastors, there was about 300-400 pastors, they stood up and they gave him a standing ovation. And he said, being a comedian, he couldn't resist it. So he said, to 7 different women. He said they became like Germans. They sat in one unison on their chairs again. But he's obviously a comedian. And then he always speaks about relationships and relationships in church and how we fall asleep when someone preaches and all this stuff. And he's quite funny, but he brings the realness of church out. And he said when he speaks about church, he always brings it like people that are married. And then he afterwards, and he speaks about how he shouts at his wife and things, and it gets quite hectic sometimes. And he says it doesn't get better when you get older. Because as you get older, you become deaf. So your wife will go down the corridor and she will say nothing. Her stomach will just go, and you go, what? And she goes, what? And then you start to fight on the word, what? So he says it, just for the younger generation, he always says, and son, she says to you, do I look fat in this? Don't say anything, just run. And he brings it, but then he spoke at this one place, this conference, and the older man came to him, he said, son, I've been married for 55 years. I've never lifted my voice to my wife. She's never lifted a voice to me. We've never fought. And he said, I looked at the older man and I thought, but I must receive something from him. But I thought there's something wrong. I looked at him. I say it with all respect, but I think you married with a carrot. And what he wanted to bring over there is like, even in church, church is beautiful. Marriage is beautiful. If you and I had a bad marriage, either through divorce or whatever happened, it doesn't make marriage bad. It's still an institution from God. And it's the same with church. When Jesus looks at the church, he doesn't look at a church that's disruptive, that's full of unrest, and that's broken. He looks at a church whole, beautiful, standing for what God intended it to be. Matthew 16, verse 13 to 23. This is the only scripture that I'm going to read today. So I'm going to read it slowly. And I want us to take it in. It's a well-known scripture. We all know it. It says in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I'm just going to stop there. Who do men say that I am the Son of Man? And it's just to give a bit of background, this is where Jesus takes his disciples out of Jerusalem in the northern part of Palestine. They actually, Kiddush Church today is breaking down the walls of Jericho. So if you like what happened there now, nobody's fighting. They're just going to break down the Wendy House walls. But when Jesus takes his disciples out, he takes them to the northern part of Palestine, 200 kilometers outside of Jerusalem, and he connects with them personally. It's just there, 13 of them there, and he asked them this question. He asked them two profound questions in this whole paragraph. The first one, he says, who do people say I am? And when it comes to understanding God and understanding church, that's the voices that come to you and I every day. Who do people around us say Jesus is? Because the world out there, every person, even Time magazine will tell you, Jesus is a significant figure. Some magazines even say he's the most significant figure that ever existed on the face of this earth. And they can't see anyone in surpassing him. And then verse 14, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to you, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. It's amazing how Jesus brings it in again. He speaks about church, and he speaks about kingdom of heaven as one. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. It's amazing how Jesus, every time in the Gospels when he tells people, even his disciples, don't tell people I'm the Christ, or don't tell people I healed you, or don't tell people what I did, a miracle in your life. What happens? They run with the newspapers. So today I want to tell you, don't tell people that the church is beautiful. I say, now we're going to have a revolution. And it's amazing how we are wired sometimes, but Jesus knows that. And he says there, from the time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Imagine rebuking Jesus. Saying, far be it from you, Lord, it shall not happen to you. I think Peter thought, yeah, now I'm the prophet of the age, yeah, man. I'm telling Jesus this will not happen. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. I haven't heard God speak to me, get behind me, Satan. But I think if you're Peter, it's not, Peter, you're a bit deceived. Let's talk about this. He's like, get behind me, Satan. The same Peter that he said a few verses ago on this revelation that you have, I will build my church. So hierdie verse is bietjie nogal baie goed. I can actually preach till 4 o'clock this morning, afternoon. Maybe morning is good, eh? It's like 16 hours. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Why? For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And I talked about it 2 weekends ago. When we speak about church, there's many people outside of church, and I speak about Christians that say that they follow Christ and they want nothing to do with church. And I want to tell you this morning that it's by grace that you and I can sit here, that we have got a revelation that church is not just important, but it's on the mind of God. And I'm going to have an illustration right at the end. I don't want to do it now. But what's amazing, they asked the two questions that Jesus asked them. The first one, who do you say that people, who does people say I am? And the second question was, right, who do you say I am? And that's the two questions that Jesus leaves with us when he wants us to know who he is and who his church is. Because when we listen to people that's either offended with church or don't like church, or even if you're like me, sometimes when you're offended in church or you feel that, can I just get away from this all? Then there's something that happens in my heart. I'm not listening to who Jesus say he is. I'm listening to what the people say he is. I'm seeing Jesus as John the Baptist, or I'm seeing Jesus as Elijah, or I'm seeing Jesus as another prophet, figuratively speaking. Because to behold the beauty of the church is to behold the beauty of Jesus. You and I will never see the church or experience the church as beautiful if we don't experience Jesus as beautiful. Ek gaan dit herhaal. We will never experience the church as beautiful if we don't experience Jesus as beautiful. If we experience Jesus as a master that sits, he's got 10 rules, and you have to go according to the 10 rules or the 50 rules, you will experience church like that. If you experience Jesus as being full of grace, you will experience the church as being full of grace. If you experience Jesus being full of love, you and I will experience the church being full of love. If you and I experience Jesus as the one that heals, as the one that brings salvation, you will see salvation and healings in the church. Jesus doesn't separate himself from the church. He doesn't. And that's why he's the cornerstone of the church. Ons het hier lekker, we've got a steel structure. There's no need for a cornerstone here. The thing will stand. But in the old days, those buildings, if that cornerstone wasn't in there, everything collapses. And if you and I don't look at the church through the cornerstone, we will always have a warped view of what a church is called to do and what the church is like. Why did Jesus ask these questions to the disciples? Because he brought it at a personal level. You and I, when we've got our first experience of church, if you were like me, my experience of church was, the best part of church is when the guy in front stood up, I was in a traditional church, lift up both hands and says, Vrede en genade is met julle die week. And I'm like, yes, it's over. We've got like 40 seconds, then we're out of here. And then everything that I thought of in that 50 minutes, I'm going to do now for the next week. I think, yeah, that's also a good part of church. So you reflect for what you have to do in the week to come. If you come do it, yeah, great. I'm not going to chase you out. But it's, for me, church wasn't alive. Why? Because Jesus wasn't alive to me. And I, when I came to salvation in 2003, I didn't go to church for about 4 or 5 years. I went there if I felt really bad or if I didn't have predicate for the exams and I needed some zap from heaven to get me through my subjects or something. But the day when I got born again, I went to 5 different churches every week just to get it in. Which is not good. After a while, I realized I have to be planted somewhere. But I just wanted, because I saw for the first time in my life, I saw the beauty of church because I saw the beauty of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, and I know sometimes it's a hard word to hear this, but if you don't see the church as beautiful, if I don't see the church as beautiful, with all its faults and all its wrinkles, we're not seeing Jesus for who he is. We're listening to the people who they say Jesus is and who church is, and we're not falling into the place where God has called us to be. Is almal nog met my? Is julle wakker? Die donkerte, die atmosfeer is so half lekker chill. Dit is soos wat 'n jazz cafe. Ons moet waar's Gerrit? Jy moet eindelijk nou vir ons 'n bietjie doep, doep, doep hier in die achtergrond. Maar dan gaan almal regtig slaap. Alright. That's why we put the cappuccinos there. It's not for afterwards. You actually just tear it open and gooi it. We've got the sugar in there, so it won't taste that bad. Okay? We've got some milk. What's that? The students, they must gooi the warm water in their mouth with the coffee and the milk in, and they shake it, and they take it down. Jesus says in these verses, he says something profound. He says, I will build my church. What is your and my role within church? Apostle Paul writes about it. He says, some of us plant, some of us water, but God brings the growth. You and I have got 2 responsibilities. We need to plant, firstly ourselves, and we need to make sure that the people that we love are also planted. And then we have to water, and God brings the growth. That's the places where we have to focus on, and that's where church becomes beautiful. This last week we were part of the baptism there of Leon there in Biffles Bay. This morning we're going to baptize 2 people, Nadia and Melissa. So if you also want to be baptized, come forward. But that for me is church. It's not about this building. Next week we're going to have lekker hoo-ha about the building, and it's going to be good. The 9th of June we're going to have a building launch, if you want to call it that. So just, Nadine has mailed everybody. I know our mail servers sometimes go to the spam, so just go check your spam. But on the 9th, this is now nothing with the sermon. I forgot to say it this morning. On the 9th of June, we are going to have a breakfast / brunch morning. Okay? And I know it says there, nothing in life is for free, but this is for free. Okay? You don't have to pay for it. Your entry ticket is that you must send a photo of yourself and of your family, if your family is here, before the 3rd of June. Okay, she did mail everybody out. I think two people have replied. Okay, so I'm going to eat lots of bacon, and I'm going to eat lots of horses and things. So we're going to have a massive celebration just to thank God. It's like met a danksegging, like a dankie sê die te eet en stuff. Okay, is julle reg daarvoor? Okay, so mail Nadine. We just want you to have a nice photo of yourself and your wife and your kids separately, and then also a family shot if you've got a family with you. Okay, so if you've got your dog or your cat, neem hulle maar af. Okay, we won't keep it against you. Right, Jesus speaks about it in terms of the church. What does a beautiful church mean? I'm just going to go through a few pointers. Is that when the church becomes beautiful to you and me, we start seeing the church as it's supposed to be. I can ask everybody now, give me 5 reasons why church is not good, and we'll name it like that. Because it's true. Some of the stuff is true. I'm not arguing against it. We make mistakes, as I said in the beginning. But when you and I start seeing what God has called the church to be, and I'm not going to talk too much about it this morning, we start living different lives. And I want us this morning, we sometimes say, but God doesn't separate the head from the body and all those things. But we cannot see the body for who the body is supposed to be if we cannot see the head. The body means nothing. You and I, if we cut off our heads, our body means nothing. And if we cut off our body, the head also means nothing. And it's part of that where God does, he sees it as one. Jesus says, I will build my church because he's building it. It's not a strategy. It's a place of relationship. It's a place of seeing people growing closer to Christ, maturing in Christ, following Christ with all that they have. It's the answer to the world. It's the answer to our congregation. It's the answer to our community. And then Jesus says there, if the church functions as it's supposed to function on the foundation who Jesus is, nothing, no gates of hell will be able to stop it. Nothing will be able to stop the church. And I've seen over my life when whether people speak about their church here in Shofar or other churches, the people that I listen to are the people that in a sense brag about their church. That says, man, you must be there. It's so great, it's so lekker. But as soon as people start saying, but that one preached again on Sunday, it's okay. We're not bringing glory to Christ. We're sending a message to the world. And I'm not telling we must be fake. Sometimes we as preachers can be very boring. Okay, now kill him and say amen. Don't be hypocrites. And it's amazing to understand with 2 Corinthians 2:14, it's not on the slide, but it says, now thanks to be to God and always lead, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. That's 2 Corinthians 2:14. It's not on the slides. I'm just going to read it again. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. A beautiful church is always led by Jesus to be in victory and triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses. So it's what I said. The fragrance. Yeah, that's the wrong. Okay, when you've got a can of spray in you, that diffuses the air. Okay, sorry. That's the type of jokes we make at the evening service. It's not supposed to be in the morning service. Okay, now gaan niemand hierdie scripture. Okay. What it says, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And Paul speaks about the church there. He says, when you and I are rooted and we planted in God's house and we see Jesus for who he is, we will have a fragrance in every place about his knowledge. Not about my revelation about Jesus, about his knowledge. It comes through. Okay, ek soek 3 manne wat sterk is, wat getroud is. Maar jy moet sterk wees. Nie fisies sterk, ek bedoel, you must be strong, emotionally and everything. Okay, fisies sterk ook. Right, 3 manne wat getroud is. Anders dan gaan ek julle uitpiek. Okay, Edwin kom vorentoe. Okay, Gerard, Leon, kom. Right, Bram, jy kan ook maar kom as jy wil. Kom staan, julle moet gaan hierdie kant staan. Okay. You all married? Just tell us how long you've been married and why you are married with your wife.
2.5 jaar. Ons is lief vir mekaar. 18 jaar. Maar is lekker.
21 years. It's beautiful.
Okay. Now, this is role play. Don't hit me or anything, please. No, I just want to give an illustration. Miskien moet ek 'n bietjie hierdie kant toe staan. Okay, I've been thinking about you 3 guys. And I want to say, Leon, you say your wife is beautiful. There's no ways. I don't know why you married her. And I think she's a hypocrite. I think she doesn't serve people. And she lies through both her lips every day. Edwin. And Edwin, for you and Karen, I don't know, it's 18 years. You could have done so much more with your life than 18 years with Karen. Okay, this is not supposed to be funny, man. I don't know. Okay, and ek gaan my nummer 5 maak. Gerrit, you can be glad it's only 2.5 years because you can decide now, you can stop it right there. Huh? Because you can see, man, Lisa puts a burden on you, man. She's full of admin. Okay, ek gaan nou daar stop. Okay, now I'm joking, guys. Jy het 'n great vrou. I thought it's going to be different this morning. They're all laughing, you laughing. Because you know it's an illustration. But this is what we do to the church. When I spoke to Leon, if Leon didn't know me, and I walked in there today and told him, Leon, your wife is hypocritical. She lies through both her lips. And she's not beautiful. What happens? Hanneke hears it, and she will obviously, if she didn't know me, she'll probably first tackle me before Leon does. But then what happens to Leon's heart, or Edwin's heart, or Gerard's heart, when someone from the outside, or someone that they even know, comes and break down their woman or their wives? What happens? You protect your wife. Listen to this. You protect your wife. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter if I'm the pastor of his church. He will protect Hanneke. Edwin will protect Karen. And Gerrit will protect Lisa. And I want to ask you this morning. If you're against church, guess on whose side you are. You're not on God's side. And I want to proclaim it in the spirit today for every person that walks in this region that says church is bad and church is not of God. You're on the wrong side. You're going to see the wrath of God. And I'm not joking. I've been praying about this whole 4 years we've nearly been in George. And I sense in my heart and I see it through scripture. It's not just me having emotion. I see it through scripture. When you and I come against the church, we're not going against the wives of these husbands. We are. But these oaks will kill you if they weren't saved. I come from the West Coast. Walk into a bar and tell a guy, even if he's got a girlfriend for 2 hours, what do you think about that girlfriend, that the girlfriend is bad? He will lie in the hospital for 4 days, if you're lucky. Normally 2 weeks. Okay, manne, julle kan gaan sit. Ons kan vir hulle lekker hande klap gee. And I want to tell you this morning that ons moes nie so gelag het hier. Dit moes 'n But you understand the principle that I want to bring across. We live in a society where men don't care about their women anymore. So they don't worry when people badmouth their wives. But I want to tell you, Jesus cares about the church. He cares about the church more than you and I can ever think or imagine. And that's why when Peter said to Jesus, "Jesus, it will not happen to you. You will not protect your wife because it's going to be bad for you." He didn't say, "Peter, you're deceived." He said, "Get behind me, Satan." And I'm not saying today with all your friends and your family that doesn't like church, if they're Christians, that tell them, "Get behind us, Satan." But I want us to start warring in our prayers for those people. Not that they come to church, because that's not going to change nothing. That they have a real revelation of who Jesus is and who the church of Jesus is. You and I cannot experience the church for who it's supposed to be. We misunderstand the church because we misunderstand Jesus. Some people think that if someone has to come against Nadine, I'll lose my Christianity right there. Ek het nie, ek laat nie my woorde uitspoel as iemand teen my vrou kom. We were engaged in Stellenbosch. Was nog net uitgegaan, but we know we were on our way to marry. And there was a guy in her workplace that started making oogies for her. What's oogies? Knip die en knip die en alles. And he was a bit older. I was 20, 24, something that stage. And I think he was 36, 37. Like a manager, he's got all the knacks. And he was quiet, and I told him, "Tell him to stop," and he didn't stop. So I just waited for the second time. So I picked up, I got phoned, because he worked at a big corporation. Got the number of this oak from the reception. I said, "Put me through." And he was quiet. You could hear this oak, he's got stature, and he knows what he has in life. And I tell him, "Do you know who you're speaking to now?" And he's like, "No, no." And I say, "You're speaking to Nadine's." I think I was a fiancé then. And I said, "You will send her a mail right now. You CC me into that mail. And you tell her that you're sorry and you're a dog. And if you don't put that words in there, you will get me next to your bedside tonight." Have you ever seen a chihuahua run from a Rottweiler? Now that's the only words he could get out. And it's not about die ook kan vir my doodmaak met alles wat in my is. Hy's groter as ek, he's bigger, he's everything. But I've got the responsibility to protect my wife. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's full of grace, he's full of love. But when you come against his bride, you see a different side of God. And that is what makes church beautiful. A husband that stands for his bride. That will not waver, that will not go left, that will not go right. And when Jesus says, "The work that I've started, I will finish," he will do it. The church is beautiful because every word that Jesus has spoken over the church is going to happen. Is in the process of happening or is already there. And that's where God calls us to be a beautiful church. Where we take hold of a promise of God over his church, over us as individuals, because we make up the church. And we say, "But we will know our King. And thus we will know the church that he's called us to be." And that's where it lies, to be a beautiful church. And that's the whole series that we did. You would pick up, I'm speaking to our hearts. And today we can sit, and we've got many people that we know that are they supposed to hear this message or supposed to be here today? But I want us to look at our own hearts. Because there come seasons in my life and your life where church doesn't feel beautiful, doesn't seem beautiful, but it remains beautiful because Jesus is. Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's where Jesus walks in. Now I'm going to end off. Jy het jy kan net gou daar kan opgooi. Vers 21. Just the previous one. There we go. It says there, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Jesus builds his church. God builds his church. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son will go to any length to make the church of Christ, the bride of Christ, come to the fruition or the place where she is called to be. Any length. And that's why Jesus, when he speaks to us, when he rebukes Peter, he says, Peter, get behind me because I've got a plan for this church. I've got a plan. And I want to tell you whether we, 10 years, the first year that we started, or whether we're going to be 500 in a few years' time, or whether we're going to be 10,000, doesn't matter to God. To him, what matters is church. To be planted and to be rooted and to see the blessing and the favor of God upon our lives. And he's got a plan with us. Not just Shofar, the church as a whole, in the whole world. And again, I wanted that two questions. Who do you say Jesus is? Or who do the people say Jesus is? You and I can flick open News 24 or any magazine, and you will hear everything that they say about the Church of Christ is degrading. Nothing in our current media in South Africa lifts up the church. Nothing. And with all respect, if they do that in the Cape Flats against any mosque or any Muslim guy that's a leader there, they will not see the good side of the Muslims. And Jesus hasn't called us to stand up like Muslim extremists or something and start ramping in the streets and proclaiming who Jesus is and stuff. He hasn't called us for that. He's called us to be like him, lay his life down for the church. And it's amazing to understand when Jesus dies on the cross, he dies there for the church and for the world. And an amazing figure for me in the book of the New Testament books is Apostle Paul, and we all know him. He was against the church, 100%. And he was the oak that Jesus turned around, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament as we know it today. And I want to encourage you, if you know people of the Ox City for Auckland, you like that, you like Apostle Paul, you can go to church where you can still be like Apostle Paul that's before he was an apostle, that's against church, or you know people that's against, start praying for them. Because Jesus doesn't go to the cross so that the wrath of God comes upon us. His first prize is that we accept the salvation that he offers. And it's the same when it comes to us, whether we against church or other people are against church. He wants it to be like Apostle Paul. He whacks him from his horse, and jy val hard as jy van 'n perd afval. But then he walks into the salvation of God. And I believe God is going to start, not just in South Africa or in George, but all over the world. You can hear it when everywhere where God is moving, he's whacking people that's against the church. And what does he do? He doesn't show them church bulletins and stuff. He reveals himself. And what does he say to Apostle Paul when he's on the road of Damascus? He doesn't say, why are you persecuting the church? He says, why are you persecuting me? If you come and twist my arm, I'm not going to tell you why do you persecute my arm. I'm going to tell you why do you twist my arm. Or why do you hurt me? So when you and I hurt the church or someone else, we're hurting Jesus Christ directly. And Jesus calls us to a place where we run with what his plans is for the church. His plans is glorious. His plans are there that we will be fearless in his promises and that we will know and understand the beauty of what church is all about. I'm going to ask Santal as you look for him to come as a belief. We're going to, I want us to sing that last song that we just sang, that Lord of Lords. And I want us, as we sing, I'm going to ask specifically that we're going to, two people that I just feel that, not that we're going to pray for, but I actually want you to make just a step, a practical step, is actually to step out, right? You can do it at your seat if you want to. But I actually want us, when it comes to church, Jesus is the King. He's the Lord of Lords. Everything, in a sense, reports to him. The buck stops with Jesus. It doesn't stop with me. If you're angry with me, then it's okay. But when we come against his church, when we come against his bride, we're coming against Jesus. And this morning I want two groups of people, so nobody's going to get exposed to stuff. I want you, if there's something in your heart, anything, even if it's the smallest thing that you're holding against the church, meaning us or the church as a whole or anything, is to come and repent before God and say, Lord, sorry, I'm actually holding against you. Because Jesus says it. He doesn't separate him and his body. So I want us actually to physically, if you can, as we sing the song, just come to the front. You don't have to do long things. We're actually not going to pray for you. I just want it to be like a place. If you can do it at your chair, do it there. Is to actually just kneel, physically kneel. We had Rolf, I think 3 weeks ago, that had that word that said we must kneel before God. Now I sense the Spirit is just calling us back again where we start honoring the head of the church, who is Jesus Christ. And the second group that I want, if you maybe know people and God has been speaking to you about people that you must stand in the gap for, that they start seeing the church for who it is and who Jesus is, that you also do that. Also come and kneel and just say, Lord, I'm sorry that I neglect the responsibility. Because somebody prayed for Apostle Paul. Somebody said, Lord, Paul is against your church. Let the salvation come in. And it happened. So that's the two groups of people that I just want. So we're going to sing the song. If you're not part of the two groups, it's okay. Just worship the Lord. So if you can stand with us, ek wil graag hê jy staan. So you can either, if there's not space at your chair and you have to come kneel in front, come and do it. If you want to kneel at your chair, it's also great. You can do it there. But I actually want us to make business with God this morning. And that's why I don't want us to come and pray with you. I don't want us to ek wil nie vir jou hande oplê nie, ek wil nie dat jy lei as nie. I just want you as a person before God today. Say, Lord, this is what it is. And maybe you're not part of the two stuff that I mentioned, but there's other stuff. Just bring it and say, Lord, here I am. And it's amazing to understand that if you look in through the whole Word of God, if you look through everything, when people start running with the image or the destiny that God has given them, they're unstoppable. They become fearless. We had Foundation 3 this week, and I think Gerard mentioned it, where Jesus or God spoke to Joshua and said, didn't I tell you to be courageous? And that's the grace about God and about Jesus. He keeps speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. I sometimes see us or myself as Aneska before God. Jy moet die hele tyd sê, nee, mooi so, nee, ja, goed, baie slim kind, baie. And that's how God speaks to us. He never leaves us. We're not going to leave Aneska for 4 days and she must do her own thing. Because that's not the heart of God to us as well. So Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord, that you've called us to be a beautiful church. Not just us as a congregation, but your church globally, Lord, all across the world. And Lord, I want to come on behalf of us as a shofar group, and where we actually spoke negative against other churches in the body. Where we started to break down other churches, we want to repent from that today. And we want to declare, Lord, every person that's part of your church is there because it's beautiful. And whether we've got a different revelation than others, it doesn't matter. You're the cornerstone. And Jesus, I thank you even this morning for deliverance in our hearts, in our minds, to where you call us as a church, as a congregation, as a shofar movement, and more than that, Lord, as being part of your bigger church. And we thank you, Lord, that even as so many things are coming against your church globally, you're asking us this morning, who do you say I am? Not what the people say, who do you say I am? And Jesus, this morning we want to say you're the Son of the living God. You're the anointed, you're the Savior of this world, you're the Savior of us. And Jesus, we need you. We need you to be the head of this church. We need you to be the cornerstone. So Jesus, this morning, we just want to come and make right with you this morning. And I thank you, Lord, as we go out this morning and go into this week, that you open up our eyes. Lift those veils where we don't see the beauty of Christ anymore. Lift those veils so that we can see your beauty and that we can see your beautiful bride. And Here, thank you, Lord. I just sense you're going to actually start loosing our mouths and our lips, Lord, to speak blessing over your bride, to speak blessing over your church. Because you've called us to be a blessing for the nations. You, the judge one day. We don't have to judge. We don't have to call things out. We just have to be a blessing as you've called us to be. So Lord, I thank you, Lord, if there's conviction this morning in any one of our hearts, that you will deal with it and that we will deal with it, and that we will have the boldness and the courage to just bring it before your throne of grace now. And I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for freedom. And I thank you, Lord, for that place where we can behold your beauty. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that you take the first place in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we just come in as we sang now, we surrender to you. We surrender to your work, we surrender to your, that you are faithful in our lives. Like your word says, even if we remain faithless, you remain faithful, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you the, Here is die een wat altyd standvastig in ons lewens is. Here is die anker, Here is die, you're the cornerstone. We're going to dismiss the meeting formally. I just want the band to keep on playing. And I actually, as you learn to like in die geest kan sing and stuff. If you still just want to be in the presence of the Lord during worship, just stay behind. You can stay in here. And I'm going to, there's some tea and coffee and cookies, or lekker koek actually this morning. If you can just close those doors, so die wat wil kuier kan lekker kuier. And then, om daar nie share. Okay. Yes, om daar nie net gou 'n woord wat hy wil deel, so if we can just hang in there. Cool.
Goeiemôre. Ek was ongehoorsaam, ek het geweet ek moet die woord bring voor die tyd. Maar snaaks is goed het gebeur. Hoekom nou? Jy gaan val oor daai planke en sulke goed. Maar wat ek by die Here my gegee het, is twee tekste wat wonderlik aansluit by wat Paul vanmôre gesê het. Ons ken nie vir Jesus vir wie hy is nie. En dit is waarom die kerk is wat hy is. Efesiërs 3 vers 19 sê, Know the love of Christ and be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God is liefde, is krag, is vrede en jy kry, hoe kry jy dit? When you know the love of Christ. En dan 2 Petrus 1 vers 2 sê, May grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So kom ons maak het ons werk om God se liefde te bestudeer en te aanvaar.
Ek wil net nog ietsie byvoeg en ek wil saamstem met wat om Dani gebring het. En vir die van ons wat vandag hier staan en hierdie gehoor het en emosioneel voel, emosioneel reaktief voel, wat wil uitgaan na sekere mense toe en vir hulle sê, ek het vir jou gesê, kan jy nie sien nie? Kan jy nie sien, jy is besig om dom en toe te wees? Wat kwaad raak en frustreerd raak met mense rondom jou, wat teen die kerk is en teen Jesus is, wil ek vir julle bemoedig om nie emosioneel te wees op daai manier nie. Om militant te raak hier oor gaan mense wegdryf. Dis wat Islam doen, daar raak militant, jy sal, luister, jy sal submit. En dis nie God nie. God lei, hy dryf nie. En wat ons roeping is om lewe te spreek oor die kerk. Om positief te wees. Om te doen wat God vir ons sê om te doen. Nie om te reageer nie. God acts, he doesn't react. Jesus het nooit gereageer teen die ouens wat hom misverstaan het of wat offended geraak het nie. Hy het aangegaan. Hy het aangegaan om lewe te bring, hy het aangegaan om te genees, hy het aangegaan om blinde mense te laat sien. Hy het aangegaan om te doen wat gedoen moes word. En jy maak jou mind op oor hom. So, waar daar so 'n emosionele reaksie nou is om die kerk te wil gaan defend buite in die wêreld, wil ek vir jou bemoedig, jou eerste roeping is om te doen wat die Here vir jou sê om te doen, om lewe te spreek oor die kerk, om nie af te breek aan die kerk nie. En God doen die res. Jy kan nie met 'n ou redeneer wat offended is nie. Jy kan vir hom bid. So wat Paul vanoggend gesê het is, die uitnodiging is om te kom, repent van die kere wat jy nie gebid het vir die mense nie, want jy gaan nie 'n persoon se hart draai nie, God gaan dit doen. Maar jou verantwoordelikheid is daar om te bid, en is 'n groot verantwoordelikheid. Amen.
Right, so ek gaan net vra as die band net 'n bietjie anders kan speel, as jy net, ek wil net beantwoord,